It's a Friday, and that means we talk it over with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Ben, Fred Fridays on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. And we're brought to you by Blue Tail Medical Group. Great alternative to surgery. Find out what they offer. Doctors Bays, Crane, and Wolf at Blue Tail Medical Group in Chesterfield. Before you have surgery, find out your body's ability to heal itself. And again, Blue Tail Medical Group. We say good morning to Ben Fredrickson. And Ben, the Cardinals salvage a game last night against Milwaukee. And good morning to you.
Good morning, Dan. Yeah, you know, they lose the series, but they ended on a positive note. And that's really all you can do when you drop the first two games. And I think the best news of it is you get a really big swing from Tyler O'Neill, who, if he starts kind of showing that power again, and you've got Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt hitting, that's good news for this lineup. So that was the biggest kind of takeaway from it. I think he's done a good job of kind of leveling out some of his dips. You know, when the power is not dominating, he's still finding ways to get on base, and that's been something we haven't seen from him. But if that power starts to tick up, then those runs are going to be easier to find because he can put them up there in a hurry. And they've had, you know, they've had trouble kind of finding guys who can do that after, you know, after the fourth or fifth spot in the lineup. He could help them if he puts some big flies out there. He's got 21 now. So again, a lost series, and I thought a close series. But, you know, the Cardinals are chasing, you know, so many teams right now, and they're getting close. But until they kind of find a way to turn that corner and start putting some series on the board against these teams with winning records, then they're going to be kind of on the outside looking in here. So they got a bunch of more games against the Brewers. They got a bunch more games against the teams they're chasing. So they're going to have more opportunities. And fortunately for them, some of the teams in front of them aren't exactly playing too hot right now.
Absolutely. I mean, the wild card is there for the taking. It looks like, even though you got some teams to jump through, I thought it was a great series. Even though they dropped 2 of 3, and what I'm saying is it was a good baseball series. And now, if you're a Cardinal fan, it's not a great series. I'm talking about generally speaking in baseball terms. You had the Wong Yadi situation. You had drama in the ninth in game two. You got to see great pitching from the Milwaukee side. You had back-to-back homers last night. So from a baseball perspective, I did think it was entertaining.
It was close. It was closely played, and it wasn't, they were all coming down to the wire at various times. Cardinals trail in the third game to find a way to flip it. Seventh time, I think, they've had back-to-back homers this season. And you're right, plenty to discuss earlier in the series. And man, I think Wong was a pretty steady theme there. And I think he's a big topic for the Cardinals this season, whether they want it to be or not. He's played really well for Milwaukee. He has been hurt. I think he's been on the injured list. Three or four times?
Three times, yeah.
He's still top five on their team in at bats. He's still playing Gold Glove defense. He at second base, he's really held down the leadoff spot for them. And we saw what he's doing for them all week. He's getting on base. He's finding ways to steal bases. He's creating problems for other teams in a lot of different ways. He also made multiple plays in the field that saved runs multiple times, probably once per game. And I loved the thing with Yadi, man. I really did. I thought that was – I could see how some people might say, I don't know, should a guy take a base? Rivalry, division rivalry, not in the last game of the series. Is that cool? Well, to me, if Yadier Molina is cool with it, he's one of the ultimate competitors in the game. Mike Schilt didn't have a problem with it. He gets it signed by Molina. He's going to put it in his man cave. He loves Yadi. They're great friends and teammates. He considers Yadi a mentor. I think that was a pretty cool thing. Heck, I wish the guy was playing for the Cardinals still, and I think Mike Schilt does too. That's kind of how he answered it. That's how I interpreted it when we asked him about Colton taking that base. And I like Tommy Edman. I think he's a good player. But I do think the Cardinals left themselves a little too thin by deciding not to pick up Colton's option.
Yeah, he's been all over the place, and he's been a catalyst, no question, for the Brewers. I thought last night was an important game for the Cardinals. Now, if there's a tough loss, normally, my feeling is in baseball, it's just like, well, yeah, it stings. And but there's a game the next day, and I, you know, realize that fans, they get very emotional with it, as they should, and it sticks with them. And with for players, though, they kind of turn the page. However, I thought after game two of the Brewers series, that one was going to stick, and I was curious how the players were going to bounce back. And this is because of what's at stake. You know, there's big games in terms of just running out of games, and then you had a big game on game two of the series. You lose it. You lose it late. It was a tough loss. Arenado eject. I mean, all those things. And so I was really curious how the Cardinals would bounce back. And they answered it by getting at Woodruff in the first inning, and then they're down 4-1, and the place is quiet, and all of a sudden, boom, boom, a couple of home runs. They generate some offense and win that game. So I do think they do deserve some credit in bouncing back in game three.
Yeah, I mean, and it helped them in this race. I mean, the Reds won last night, but I think, you know, the Padres were off, so it was a big one. I mean, the Padres are reeling right now, so they're still got to figure out a way to get in front of the Reds. But like I said, some of these teams that they're chasing are not exactly, you know, go read the headlines in Philly, in New York for the Mets, in San Diego for the Padres. Everyone is, the headlines are similar to what we're seeing in St. Louis. Why can't this team build traction? Why are these guys giving games away? So like I said, a lot of this, the group kind of, whatever you call it, I wouldn't call it surging, but meandering its way toward that second wild card. They're not all playing their best. So the Cardinals should be frustrated they let that game get away. The second game, they should be frustrated they didn't find a way to win the first game. Although when you're facing three of the top pitchers in the National League, it's going to be tough. And that's what made the second one so sour. You know, you get a chance to get Peralta out early and you don't capitalize. You get seven relievers and you can't score. And that was the key to that game. It wasn't anything else. However, you know, look, Nolan Arenado is a great player. He's a big boy. He's not perfect. None of us are. And I thought that was a rare kind of judgment mistake for Nolan to get tossed from that game. I don't think he should have been tossed. I thought Alan Porter, the ump who did it, should have sat on it and looked the other way. Nolan was bringing up the check swing conversation again as he took his spot in the field. But he wasn't stalking down Porter. He was going to his base, kind of talking over his shoulder. And that's the kind of thing that in April, if you want to make a point, maybe you toss him. But not now. Not if he's not directly coming at you, causing a big scene. I don't know if Porter thought he said something that he didn't or misinterpreted something or what. But it's on Arenado for putting himself in that spot.
That's right.
You got to be there to help your team. And he missed an at-bat later. He also would have been at third base for that bunt that Christian Yelich put down. And Yelich said after the game that he would not have bunted if Arenado would have been there. So, you know, that those are two big moments in a really close game. And I know no one's going to beat themselves up more about it than Nolan, but he did put himself in a bad spot in a big game. And it's okay to say that. It doesn't make him a bad guy. It doesn't mean he hasn't had a great season. He's kind of trying to make an MVP-type run here. But that was a bad moment for him.
Michael is returning tonight. Give me the line. What are you expecting out of Miles?
Oh, man. I'd just be happy if he could throw something up around, you know, more than 50 pitches. And I don't mean that sarcastically. It seems like I know he's had a ton of rehab starts and his velocity's up. But if he can go five innings and walk off and feel like he can pitch again the next time, then I think you take that as a step forward for him. Because it just seems like every time we're used to seeing him in the majors now, something's wrong or goes wrong soon after. So I don't expect the world, but if he can just have a decent start, not a quality start, like in terms of the stat, but just a decent start, I think you take it and look at it for something to build on.
Absolutely. It's a Hall of Fame weekend. I'm looking forward to this. Looking forward to seeing Tommy Herr, John Tudor, Bill White, Keith Hernandez go in. Always something unique with the Hall of Fame weekend, with a speech or a moment or a hug or somebody starts crying, whatever. But I always say it's the celebration of Cardinal baseball, and that'll be on Saturday. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm sure you are too.
Absolutely, man. I'm excited to see Keith get his chance, and he'll be emotional, I would imagine.
Yeah,
and he's been, as kind of this approaches. And, you know, one thing that has jumped out to me and one thing that I think finally resonated with people who vote in this means a lot to him. And the fact that there are Cardinals fans who wanted him in the Hall of Fame, it touches him. And every time he's talked about it, and I know you've had conversations with him, you know, I've seen it in things that he's done for, you know, we'll honor somebody at the, you know, at the baseball writers dinner, and he'll send it in a video talking about it. You know, he wants to be involved. He cares. It means a lot to him that St. Louis cares about him. And I know there are a lot of fans who wanted to see him go in for a long time who are going to be thrilled. So that'll be fun. And that's going to be the second and a really cool year. I mean, to see what Ted Simmons got to do at his statue unveiling, a little teaser of his Cooperstown speech. Awesome. And the fact that every time that guy talks, you learn something just about life. And I think we might hear some of that from Mr. Hernandez too.
Looking forward to it. I want to ask you before we wrap things up here, we got a few minutes, but Mizzou football is back on the field. There is a young man that decommits from Oklahoma, wide receiver from East St. Louis, and a lot of people are saying he's headed to Mizzou. What do you think?
Well, I think Eli Drinkwitz would love to make that happen. I think that this has been a long-term project for Eli, and he didn't slow down once Luther Burden committed to Oklahoma. You know, there are some coaches back in the old days who would say, look, we don't commit. We don't recruit committed players once they commit elsewhere. That's out of respect to the other team. We don't keep after them. Dan, those days are over. Now coaches celebrate when they flip a guy from a commitment. These are the Wild West days. Name, image, and likeness is in play. And coaches are going to keep going after guys until they sign the dotted line for the scholarship paper. And Eli Drinkwitz has stayed on Luther Burden, and he's been interested. He's checked out Mizzou. He's liked to hear what they had to say. There's a lot of people suggesting that it will now be between Missouri and Georgia. Some people are saying, hey, hold on a second, Oklahoma could come back in there. And they have done that before. I mean, they've lost guys who say they decommit and then found a way to get them in the bag by signing day. I think this is going to be a big thing about name, image, and likeness. If you can present a chance for a guy to have a better series of offers for name, image, and likeness when he's going to stay at his home state school, then that makes it more appealing. And that's how Mizzou or Illinois or any of these other schools can step up to the plate against Oklahoma and get a guy. And I think that is something that Mizzou's working on. And Drinkwitz can't walk into his room and say, hey, here's the name, image, and likeness plan for you, because that's not really how it's supposed to work in recruiting. But we all have enough common sense to know that this gives fans and businesses and supporters of schools an opportunity to, you know, put their money where their mouth is and go get players. And that's why I think he called it a business decision when he decommitted from Oklahoma. Now there's this whole new element to the conversation. And I do think that Mizzou is hoping to get involved in that. They should be. But also, too, it's the football aspect of it. He's got Eli Drinkwitz has an offense that he's hoping kind of takes the next step this year. Luther Burden has to be hearing all the good things that are coming out about Dominic Lovett and how well he's played at camp for the Tigers. He's going to make an impact on the field this fall. He's seen teammates like Lovett, like Tyler Macon, the quarterback, who's going to be jostling for a backup job behind Connor Bazelak, have success in Columbia. So I think that maybe he's kind of buying into some of what this new zoo theory is talking about. So a new ball game for Drinkwitz, and you know that he's going to try to do everything he can to get him in the bag.
In terms of the new AD, what are you hearing about the new AD at Mizzou and how she's able to maybe advance or be proactive with name, image, and likeness?
Well, I think she's open to it, and she thinks it's a weapon for her school. And I think that's kind of one of the reasons that they were interested in her. There's really kind of two camps of ADs, it seems, these days. Ones who view name, image, and likeness with kind of a hesitation, and ones that view it as, hey, full steam ahead, let's find a way to make it work for us. And I think Desiree Reed-Francois is in the later camp. She's just kind of now officially on the job. I've heard good things. I've heard, you know, the more people I've talked to about her, the more impressed I get. She certainly filled roles elsewhere that prepared her for this. But, you know, finding ways for Mizzou to be on the cutting edge of name, image, and likeness, I think, is huge. And part of the reason that the curators and President Moon Choi thought that she was the right one. So I'm curious to see what they come out with. They have a plan. They have a program in place. They have an ability to try to teach kids about, you know, the financial side of these things. And those are all good to have a system in place. But what I'm curious about is what companies, what supporters step forward. At Miami, we've seen a gym say, we want to put the non-scholarship football players, you know, we want to give them a deal. We've seen other companies elsewhere say, hey, every player on the roster is going to get something from us. We haven't seen something like that at Mizzou. Maybe there is a business, a company within the state, within St. Louis or Kansas City that wants to step up and put Mizzou on the map with something like that. And that would be huge. And that would be a big win for her early in her tenure if that can happen.
Can you believe we're about a month away from when the Blues report to camp?
Yeah, man. And there's Vladdy still hanging out, I guess. They better have a hell of a kumbaya session planned if he's going to be in that camp. You know, I have a hard time believing that there will be like official team functions with him a part of it. However, unless something changes, then they're kind of just seem to be locked into a holding pattern here. It's a risk, you know, bringing somebody who has had such a kind of a negative offseason toward the team back into the fold. And the risk is that you kind of contaminate the season you're about to start. I guess the upside of it is you may be an injury happens elsewhere, or maybe, you know, some situation sours elsewhere. There's other teams that are in tough spots with either, you know, guys that are bumping up against the cap, or, you know, you got the Jack Eichel situation in Buffalo. Maybe that boils over and Armstrong is well positioned to make a deal. But he doesn't, I guess, like the cards he has on his table now, so he's kind of sitting on them. But I'm fascinated to see how he plays this off. Dan, I just can't imagine. I cannot imagine that. Maybe there's a practice or two. Maybe there's a whole camp. But I just can't imagine that by the time games start that this guy's going to be around. But maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, we'll find out. What are you working on this weekend on the in the Post-Dispatch?
Well, I got a good column, I hope, if I write it, if I don't mess it up. I had a really good talk with Travis Ford this week about where he's at. His team's going to be a big, you know, a whole new look this year with Jordan Goodwin and Hassan French gone. Travis also, you know, still kind of figuring out how to put the pieces together after the loss of his nephew Ford, who was on his staff, and had a really good talk with Travis about where he's at, where this team is going. Hope folks will check that out in Sunday's Post-Dispatch. We'll have plenty of coverage of racing this weekend and also the Cardinals and the Hall of Fame induction. So tons of stuff coming in STL today and the pages of the PD.
All right, man. Looking forward to it. And we'll catch you up next Friday.
Sounds good, man. Talk to you soon.
You got it. That's Ben Fredrickson of the Post-Dispatch, and we're brought to you by Blue Tail Medical Group.